morning. Oh, you can hear me. I can hear myself. Well, it's lovely to see everyone. Any new faces here today, you're very welcome. And those who are visiting after a while. My name is Douglas, and a very warm welcome to all of you on this special day. We are here gathered together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to glorify and worship our Heavenly Father. And we are a church family, and this is really good that we can gather together in love, in unity, and together to have a great time also. Right. Let's just first open our time to God in prayer, and then let's see then what's happening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your greatness. And we thank you for who you are. And your word, Lord Jesus, says that you are the resurrection and the life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the bread of life. You are a good shepherd. You are a redeemer. And you are our good friend. And we thank you for your presence here. We thank you that you live and reign in our hearts. And we thank you that you are here amongst us today through the power of your Spirit. And we just glorify you. Lord, we really want to praise you and thank you that William is with us today, back home. And we thank you and give you all the praise for him. And we just commit the day to you and this morning to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay. So, today we're celebrating a special day. Anybody knows what it is? Mother's Day. Thank you, Margaret. Mother's Day. Yes. And in our church here, we're celebrating Mother's Day. Or I like to call it all the ladies' day. not everybody's a mother, but... And before we pray, I've just seen somebody walking in. We're really pleased today to have William back with us. And we missed William. And praise God.
I just pray that for the church here, and many thanks again. Thank you.
We have come to worship God, who loved us before we were born, who knows us even better than we know ourselves, whose presence never leaves us, and whose love for us never ceases. This is our God, and there's no God greater than the one true living God. Our God is greater.
We are delighted that Darren is going to bring God's word to us today. But before Darren comes up, and I will pray for him, whilst Rachel's going to come up and do the reading for today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a pleasure to have just sung of the goodness of God. Let's open the word of God together and read of his further goodness to us. As you know, we're reading from the book of Philippians. And if you've got a Bible or if you want to turn on your phone Bible, we are looking at Philippians 4 from verses 4 to 9, which should be on the screen as well. It says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father, we thank you for Darren and thank you for what you've put in his heart. As thank you for your spirit for helping him to prepare. And we just pray that even if there's something small that Darren brings to us from your word that penetrates our heart, we ask for that. We ask to make things clear to us, Lord, from this passage and what Darren has to bring to us. May your blessing be upon him, Lord. Amen.
Is the mic on here? Everybody hear me? Okay. Mum, can you hear me? You can. Right. The acid test. If my mum can hear me, does this lift up, by the way? Does this? It doesn't. Okay. I can do that, though. I can pivot it. Is that better? Right. Okay. So, yeah. We were just singing there about God's goodness. And I have to say before I start, I thank God for lots of things. And this morning, I really thank God that I've got one of my sons on the drums, Jacob, who you heard from on Mum's Day. I've got my wife, I've got my sister, and I've got my mum here. So I thank God for all of them this morning. So I've been asked to bring the message this morning. It is on the reading that you've just heard that Rachel's brought to us. And the title that I was given to talk on this morning was The Secret of Unity and Peace. Okay, so Ollie, can I have the next slide, please? Okay, so unity and peace. I just wanted to start by looking at what's the alternative to unity and peace in our own lives and in our church lives. And I would say the alternatives are division and that we have conflict. I'm going to start with a really easy question here. Which side of that slide do you think that God wants for us as individuals and us as a church? Left. Okay. Unity and peace. That's a good start. Hopefully we're going to be on the same page. Okay. Can I have the next slide, Ollie, please? Right. Now we get serious. Who, like me, is a fan of Lego? Good. Excellent. I know Tony is. I was speaking to Tony this morning, actually. He does a lot of Lego, and he was telling me that he went into the toy shop in town. He was looking at the latest Lego set there, which was a big truck with a flat loader and a JCB on the back. £180 he felt was a bit steep, though, so he didn't. So I love Lego, and when I was very, very young, I had a Lego collection of loads of random bricks. I had a little grey, don't know, it'd be a bit like a toolkit, really, with all my Lego bricks in it. And I used to just love making things, randomly pick the bricks out and make them. Winding forward now a few years to Christmas of, I think it was 1981, when I was 11, okay? I know you don't think I look that old, but I was 11 in 1981. And I really, really, really wanted something for Christmas. And I was delighted on Christmas morning when I opened a technical Lego set. Okay, not this one, but it was a technical Lego set. It was like a dragster. It was really cool. And I was delighted with my present. And I can remember sitting there on Christmas afternoon in my mum and dad's house and making my Lego set. And what I soon learnt from that was that unlike my random bricks and my creation of various bits and pieces, I needed to follow this. Okay? I needed to follow the instructions. Otherwise, it was going to end in disaster. Okay? Now, for others of you that for some bizarre reason are not into Lego, you may be able to equate for this if you are, don't know, if you like cooking, and for the first time you're trying a new dish, it might be a recipe book that you need to follow. Or if you like knitting, there might be a pattern book, if that's the right phrase. I'm not sure, but forgive me if it's not. By the way, just I have a birthday in a couple of weeks. So if anyone's really struggling to think what they'd like to buy me. So, you would think, wouldn't you, aged 11, I completed my dragster, that I'd have learnt my lessons. Moving forward another 4 or 5 years, my mum and dad bought me, I can't remember if it was a bedside table or something like that from, anyone remember MFI? Yeah. MFI? Yeah, what a disaster that place was. Anyway, I think it was a bedside table. Do you think that I followed the instructions? Some yeses, some noes. Ollie, do you want to go on to the next slide? So, this isn't a picture of me, age 15 or 16. It didn't quite end in that kind of a disaster, but I think from that picture you can gather that I actually did not follow the instructions. I thought to myself, I know how to put this together. I can do a technical Lego set. I can put this together. And it was a disaster. It failed. And my dear dad, afterwards, he then taught me how to go about it. So take all of the bits out, count you've got all of the bits, tick them off in the instruction book, put all of the separate bits in different, I think it was breakfast bowls I used to put them in. Yeah, check that was all there, and then go through the instructions from page one. Okay. So, next message, please. Slide, please, Ollie. So, my big question to us all this morning is this. Is the route to unity and peace a secret? Okay, so someone said no. Okay, interesting. So, I'm not going to ask you to vote on this or shout out, but just have a think about that. Is the route to unity and peace a secret? So, we're looking at the book of Philippians this morning. And Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. Now, I've been coming to church for a long time, and I thought, hey, I've heard that word apostle a million times. What is an apostle? It's actually someone that's sent on a mission, someone that's got a mission, someone that wants to say something to people that's passionate about it. So the book of Philippians was written by Paul, and it was written to the church in Philippi, which is a place in northeastern Greece. And it was written in about AD 60 to 62, so circa 30 years after Jesus died. And the overarching lesson, I think, that Paul was trying to bring at that time to the church in Philippi, and that's relevant to us as well, is that he was calling the church to imitate Jesus' way of life. So, looking at our verses today, I'm not going to preach on verse 6, which is probably one of the most regularly preached on verses, which is the do not worry about anything. So, if you thought I was, I'm sorry to disappoint you, I'm not. Ollie, can I have the next slide, please? Thanks. So, I'm going to focus in more on verse 9. Okay. Now, the NIV version that Rachel read out is slightly differently worded to the version that I read. And I had a bit of a panic this morning thinking, I wonder if those two versions are the same, and they're worded slightly differently. So I rapidly went back to see which version I read from, and it was from, I'd never heard of this translation before, but it's called the Easy English Version. Okay, so I thought, well, that's quite good. It's pretty simple, so I might understand that. So verse 9 in the version that I read says, remember what I have taught you. Remember the message that you heard from me, and remember what you saw when I lived amongst you. So, anyone pick out a repetitive word there? Remember, remember, remember. Next slide, please, Ollie. So, what Paul is saying here is to remember what Jesus taught us. Okay, remember what he told us, what did we hear, and what did we see from him when he lived out his life. Next slide, please, Ollie. Okay. So, the book of Philippians, I would suggest, sets out three practical actions for us that can contribute to unity and peace in our own lives, in our church lives, and in our community. So, what three practical actions can we learn from what Jesus taught us, from what he told us, from what we heard from him, and from what we saw in his actions? Okay, Ollie. So I would say instruction one, he taught us how to pray. He prayed that the church would have unity, just as there was unity between the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. And he asked us to pray likewise. He encouraged us to pray constantly and to not give up in Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 13. I think for us there may be situations in our life that we have to pray constantly and to not give up with. Whether it's to do with conflict or whether it's to do with something else. I remember praying very regularly over 10 years for something, for someone very close in my life, that God would bring about change. And I admit, there were times when I thought, I'm wasting my time. This is not going to happen. But I thank God that 10 years later, I saw an enormous change that was brought about. God asks us to pray constantly and to not give up. I'll add, we don't always see the prayers answered, do we? Especially the way we think that we want them to be. I've still got prayers that are like that. And someday I think, well, I'll find out. Perhaps not on this planet, but in heaven. When we pray, God asks us to give more thanks and praise than requests. I think it's very easy, isn't it, for us to come in prayer, please God do this, please God do this. He asks us first of all to come with thanks and for praise. We've just sang there about his goodness. He wants us to be that half glass full. He asks us to pray for others, and he gave us the model prayer with the Lord's Prayer. What I think is interesting in there is the line that says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. I'll read that again. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. See? God's saying here, this is a two-way thing. We have a responsibility here. Paul's advice was to turn our worries into prayers. We all worry. I think it's impossible for us not to worry. But Paul says, turn that into praise. Because the joy that we know comes from Christ within us. He also mentions about us praying. How do we pray? And he says, pray with sincerity and in private, emphasizing a personal relationship with God. Now, I don't think what he means there is only pray in private. The context there was he was talking about a lot of the Pharisees who would pray openly these long, long prayers. And he was inferring that they were doing that basically just to look good. God wants us to pray openly together as a community, as a church. But I think what he's saying here is it needs to be personal. It needs to come from the heart. We need to emphasize a personal relationship that we've got with God, and not be a hypocrite. Not say one thing out in public, but in private, it's something very different. Okay, next slide, please, Ollie. So instruction two. He asks us to resolve conflict. And one of the names that Jesus has given in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 9 is he was the Prince of Peace. On his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 to 7, he highlights the importance of mending relationships before engaging in religious practices. He highlighted that it was more important to him that we were right with God and with others in our lives before we come together and we worship him. Paul himself pleads with the church in Philippi to bring resolution to the two women who had some issue between them that wasn't resolved. He doesn't expect us just to stand there and not get engaged and try and deal with conflict. Jesus himself showed the side of him when he turned the tables over in the temple courts. So how do we go about resolving conflict? Again, our instructions are given in this book. He says we are to communicate directly with that individual, i.e., don't gossip behind people's backs. Speak to them in person, in private. Have empathy with that person. Try and understand maybe where this person is coming from. Will there be differences amongst us and between us? Absolutely. I would say it's absolutely inevitable. We're human, and we're not always going to agree with each other. I have differences with my colleagues at work. Believe it or not, Rachel and I sometimes have differences of opinion. Moreover, the Bible in 1 Corinthians and Romans 12 tells us that we're all different, but that we must all work together as different parts of one body. May I suggest that if we have got conflict amongst us, if we don't have unity and that peace, that we take time to pray, and maybe we speak to others first to get their view and their opinion on it before we try and deal with conflict. I'd suggest as well that we choose our battles. Is it really worth us falling out over? Is it really important in God's kingdom? Is it God's will we're seeking when we try to seek resolution? Or is it our own? Are we really looking for unity first and foremost, rather than trying to necessarily be right? Okay, next one please, Ollie. Okay, so our third and final instruction that we're given is to live a life of principle by imitating Jesus' way of life. So how do we do this? Well, Jesus taught us and told us that we were to have love, compassion, forgiveness, and ultimately a faith in God. He asked us to be kind and gentle. Is that how we act in conflict when we have a difference with somebody? Are we kind and gentle? Jesus also asked us to be all-inclusive. He healed people. He welcomed the little children to him. He went out of his way to talk to the outcast. He gave and encouraged us to give to the poor. And he even forgave those who crucified him. It might be okay to say, well, that was okay back then, and that's all good and well if my life's going well. But let's remember, where was he writing the book of Philippians? He was imprisoned. He was imprisoned in Rome. He was not in a very positive place, I would suggest. There's better places to be. But his attitude teaches us that our inner attitudes do not have to reflect our outward circumstances. Paul reiterates what Jesus told us as well, and that's be careful what we put in our minds, because what we put in, it will come out. Are we putting in positive things in what we do, in what we see, in the way that we act? Or are there unhelpful things that are potentially damaging and harmful in our lives? Do we have problems with wrong emotions, with impure thoughts and wrong actions, or lack of action? I'd suggest we all do at times, and we need to seek God and prayer for that. Okay, next slide, please, Ollie. So, I'm going to return now to our big question. And I'll ask the question again. Is the route to unity and peace a secret? I have a no. Do I have hands up for any more no's? It is not a secret. Okay. I have a good show of it is not a secret. I'm pleased to hear that. Okay, next slide, Ollie, please. But there's a but. There is a but. I would say that it's not a secret. I think we have been given, the secrets are revealed in this book. They are no longer a secret. We have our instruction manual here. But is it always easy to follow those instructions? Is it always easy to act those out? I would agree. It's not, is it? We might have the head knowledge, but it's not always easy to then follow those instructions out. I would suggest that we would find it easier to follow out these instructions if our focus is correct. I think it depends on our focus. Ollie, next slide, please. And I would suggest that verse 8 gives us our focus. Our focus needs to be on God and what is true, what is noble, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, too small up there. I can't read that. I'll have to read down here. Whatever is excellent and whatever is praiseworthy. Are we attuned and focused in on God's voice? I would suggest that the extent with which we practice all of this will determine our ability to bring unity and peace in his name by imitating the life of Jesus. Firstly, let's get unity and peace in our own lives. I speak for me and everybody. Let's get our relationships with God right first. Let's have our peace and our unity with him, because we're going to be much more effective when we want to bring unity and peace to our church and to our community. Okay, next slide, please, Ollie. So, just wrapping up. We were told in verse 9 to remember what God had taught us, to remember the message that we heard from him, and to remember what we saw from him. But I missed out the last sentence of verse 8, which says, "You also must do these things. You also must do these things." It's not enough to have the head knowledge. It's not enough for us to have the theory if we don't act on them. It's pointless. A bit like a driving test. I'm way too old to remember when there was a theory test and then you actually did your practical driving test. But nowadays, you do a theory test. You have to learn the laws of the road, the do's and the don'ts, what all of the signs mean. I could get 100% in that theory test. I could know it all. But what happens if I go out and do my practical, my actual driving test, and I forget all about it because I think I know better? I'm not going to bother with that red sign. Get fire through there. I'm not going to bother with that 30 miles an hour. I'm far too good at handling a car than that. I'll do 50. We go our own way. We know the theory, but we don't put it into practice. Okay, thanks, Ollie. So, my challenge to us all is when we are in positions where there is division or there is conflict, which we will all be in, let's follow the instructions that we're given and let's act on them. And is what God has done for us through Jesus' ultimate peace offering on the cross and through his shed blood, is that not enough for us to follow his instructions?